Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Social Media CX podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Sellis, and I want to talk to you about something that's very interesting. If your brand is still treating social media like a broadcast channel, you're missing huge opportunities to create real relationships. But what if you had a SWAT team, an actual social media SWAT team, ready to jump into action at a moment's notice? ZoomInfo does. And today we have Justin Levy here to break down exactly how they're using this approach to offer social support, social care, customer experience, and brand engagement. Welcome to the Social Media CX podcast, where social media meets customer experience and where all fires, no rainbows is the current reality for most brands. I'm Brooke Sellis, CEO of B Squared Media, and I'm on a mission to change that. Social media can be the MVP of your CX strategy, and I'm here to show you how. Each week, we'll tackle the challenges of social care head-on with candid interviews, real-world case studies, and actionable advice to turn your social channels into loyalty-building, revenue-driving, dopamine machines. Whether you're managing customer complaints, trying to engage meaningfully, or just tired of missing DMs, this podcast is your guide to putting out the fires and building the rainbows. Justin, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to be on. For those people watching or listening who don't know you, you're the director of content and social at ZoomInfo, but you've also been in the game for a long time. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to ZoomInfo?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been doing social or involved in social for pretty much as long as it's been around, before it was really called social media, right? Before companies had line item budgets for it and hiring full-time. I launched one of the first agencies that there were with Chris Brogan back in 2009 or something around that nature, but obviously had been involved with it for a few years before then. As time went on, obviously social media became bigger and influencer marketing came into play, and things like content development, obviously up to that point, blogs and podcasts were already a thing, but that took on a broader impact as it related to social. And that's taken me through agency life and then over to brands and now to ZoomInfo.
Yeah, you're like me. You're a social media dinosaur, but I even think you have a few years on me. So I always refer to myself as the dinosaur, the grandma of social media. But today we're going to get into your social media SWAT team at ZoomInfo, which you have this post, you put it out on LinkedIn explaining the story. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to come on the show and talk about this. So first, let's define it. What is the social media SWAT team at ZoomInfo?
Absolutely. So it is similar to what a lot of bigger brands have for social support, right? We have live monitoring happening by team 5 days a week, 12 hours a day. We break that into 3-4 hour shifts. We're fortunate to have people across the country, so we're able to shift that around through the different time zones. But we wanted to add an additional layer to it. We wanted to be able to have the SMEs around the company respond in real time and be able to help our prospects and customers and anyone that might have an issue, instead of us having to respond or filter through it, be able to have them actually engage with those individuals, whether it's publicly or they take it into a private conversation. So we built what we call our SWAT team, and that's besides my team, it includes 10 to 12-ish different teams throughout the company and upwards of 100 people at director level or above amongst those 10 teams.
That is amazing. And it's also like glorious, because I feel like so few companies are paying attention to support on social media. So the fact that you have not one person, not a team of people, but like hundreds of people who are helping with the SWAT team, I just think that's amazing. Why did this whole process come about? Like, why did y'all implement this model? Was there a problem or it was just like, hey, we're seeing a lot of conversation on social around the brand? How did it come to be?
Yeah, absolutely. During 2023, there was an increase in a negative sentiment that the company continued to see and were having to battle. Some of it was competitive, a negative sentiment. Some of it were individuals that were making requests or things of that nature. If you look at what we do as a company and what we were really focused on back then, you know, we're a contact data provider. You know, we've evolved that now to become known for our go-to-market intelligence and our AI platform. But we have there's contact data, and people have the option to have their data removed from our systems. And they might not know that or might not understand how our processes are around that. And you also just have customers, inevitably, we're a large company. You have customers that naturally will complain about aspects in a contract or not being able to connect with someone on our team or a competitive grab or any of those types of situations. And we needed a way to streamline all of that, all the folks that were the smartest at what we do, right? So if it's a privacy concern, if it's a data concern, our privacy and compliance team are the people to talk about, right? If it's a legal concern, our deputy counsel or one of his team members are the best people to consult with and have respond to that. All the way to sales. If someone says, hey, I'm trying to get in touch with a sales rep, I've done business with you at our other 2 to 3 companies, and obviously it's much easier to have a director, VP of that business unit reach out to them and have that one-to-one touch, as opposed to maybe have them go through the website and fill out the demo and have our team contact them. It's a nicer process to have a VP say, I saw your post on LinkedIn. Let me set you up with someone on my team.
Yeah. When I talked to Josh at Organic Valley, so if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen. But he said the same thing or a very similar thing. He was like, you don't want to put the work on the customer. That's creating friction. And friction inevitably leads to lost deals or churn. And so what I'm hearing you say is something similar. Like, we didn't want to put the work on the customers. We want to be able to say, yes, and so-and-so is here to answer those questions specific to sales or privacy or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. And I think, and I know that's something that you're passionate about and you do with your business, but we also want to showcase that we're a brand that listens. And we're not only listening for one thing or for someone that might tag us around something specifically or someone specifically. Now, we don't respond to everything. Right. We don't respond to trolls, or we'll get ourselves involved in something that could position us into a negative, like a crisis or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Last year, out of 140 posts that our team picked up on, we engaged on around 650 of those. So it's not a small percentage. It's not like we only engaged on 10% or something like that. It was the overwhelming majority that we activated our SWAT team on.
I love that. And I think it just showcases how much more conversation is happening on social that's worth getting involved in as the brand. Tell me a little bit about social listening, because I'm assuming you mentioned the negative sentiment, and I'm assuming you're using like a tool or social listening that helps you go out beyond the reactive, right? It's not just when people are tagging you, but when they're talking about you. What tools do you use? How do you implement social listening? What does that look like?
Yeah, so it's actually an interesting question because we do at the company use Sprout Social. So my team is in Sprout and we have monitor and set up in there. And of course, they live on social. So throughout the day, as people tag us or we post a piece of content, they reshare or whatever might happen, we engage. However, due to LinkedIn's wonderful lack of access to their API, we have to manually search LinkedIn. So our team throughout the day, 12 hours a day, literally refreshes in real time LinkedIn, because the majority of our conversations happen on LinkedIn. And so that becomes difficult. It's a manual process to sniff those out. But when our team does sniff them out, working with our business operations team, we are able to build this process that is way beyond anything I could have ever thought of, but functions off of a Google Sheet with an automated Slack channel and tagging per team. When we do this, it pulls in all the relevant information about them. We're able to pull in their Salesforce data if we have it, and then choose who it needs to route to. It's a lot of manual work on our team, but it enables and ensures that manual work isn't onto the SWAT team who's taking their time to involve themselves.
I'm assuming you do this and it's worth the manual work because you're diffusing a crisis, or you're turning a negative experience into a positive one, or you're educating a customer on privacy and data. Can you share any examples with everyone who's listening or watching on how you've been able to do that, or one time this happened?
So we've done a couple of things as part of the SWAT team, right? One, we set SLAs in the time that we want to triage and reply, and then the time of resolution. And we monitor the overall SWAT team, the entire process, but then also the individual teams, so that if we see a spike for some reason, we can investigate why. And maybe it's that team doesn't have enough people because people have left the company or are out of office, so we can look their strength in that, or things of that nature. So that helps us on our responsiveness and on always improving our time. An example that I'm always proud of is our chief privacy officer. He's always one of the, or someone on his team, is always one of the first people to respond to a request. And he'll respond even outside hours when, you know, we're not actively monitoring. And I think it's said, coming from someone with the title of chief privacy officer, right? If you have a privacy concern, or if you're asking about your contact information, your data, or something of that nature, right? You expect that the brand probably won't respond. Or if they do, it's going to be someone from the social media team, even if that social team member is helpful. But that's the default. Most companies have their social team act. But to have the chief privacy officer step up and publicly say, my name is George, I run privacy here, I'm willing to help you. And then take it offline to DM or what have you, and actually help him through that. I've also been part of the cases where I've taken things offline and worked with people to help them, and then said, listen, if you need anything else, just reach out to me. And a couple of times they reached out to me, whether that's another ask, or they reached out because they want to be connected with our sales team. And we do that. And then we monitor all that, right? We monitor the segments, we monitor the ACV that comes in, minus churn. So we're always looking at all those stats and who and when should respond. And it's always personal. It's never the privacy and compliance team or the legal team, right? It's an individual.
I love that so much. And so few companies do it. So I feel like you're a true outlier when it comes to social care, social support. If you're loving these conversations and thinking, wait, my team needs this energy and this strategy, then you need our Care Squared training program. It's our signature social media customer care training, built to help brands turn comments and complaints into conversations that retain customers, boost loyalty, and prove a return on investment with your social. From real-time response tactics to empathy mapping and intent tagging, we teach your team how to deliver standout customer experience in the DMs, comments, and beyond. Less thanks for your feedback and more let's turn this into a win. Head over to bsquared.media/care to learn more and book your training, because social media is customer care now, and it's time your team acted like it. You mentioned a couple of key performance indicators or KPIs I think you said response time, resolution time. Are there any other KPIs that help you prove that the SWAT team is working?
Yeah, we look at things such as the segment. So are they in enterprise, mid-market, or SMB? We can go all the way down, because this is connected to Salesforce for us. We're able to see exactly what customers they are. And if there are churn risk, we're able to look at the percentage of these posts happen on what platforms and whether they're in the post themselves or in the comments. And we can go look at that. We can pull in exactly, and we do pull in exactly, like I said, what teams, so that we can identify if there's a blip on the radar. We can see if a negative comment from someone, if that person has posted has multiple times.
Right.
And we do this all through a looker board, so that we can toggle those switches and try to identify this team had a majority of the responses or threads this month. And does that mean we need to adjust or address something? And that helps the overall team. And then we report monthly to our executive leadership team so that they can always stay aware of what's happening throughout the company.
Yeah. Keeping a finger on the pulse is so important, because we've talked about this before, but we've changed things like packaging based on these social media conversations, right? It's like, it sounds like it's weird stuff, but taking this voice of customer data and then actually doing something with it is key to what you're doing.
Absolutely. And I completely agree, because you wouldn't know otherwise. And sometimes that data doesn't make it across the company.
Yeah.
Might happen in a small space, right? You might have one customer, two customers that ask for something, or if it's sales, might negotiate something, or one thing that support needs to deal with, or enablement, or CX. You have these things that happen in the company, but when we're able to report on it at a broader level and provide examples, that then helps to showcase that maybe it is a broader issue. Maybe it is something that's being talked about multiple times over. There is a consistent thread that's coming out over the course of a month or 2 months. And then we're able to highlight that. And a lot of times, if we're aware of something that's going to happen, we will alert our team to keep an eye on it so that we can have a quick response if we need to, as opposed to all of a sudden they find out. Whoever's monitoring at 8 o'clock Eastern at night sees something. Now we have to go all the way back through to find it. We'll be alerted ahead of time and be able to be proactive with it.
Yeah. The proactive part is so key to what you're doing. And then one of my other favorite things that we talked about in the pre-call was you're not just solving these problems. It sounds like this is how it started. We saw the negative sentiment. We jumped in. We created this SWAT team. But you also were telling me about how y'all highlight the good stuff. And I want you to talk about that a little bit. Your team gives public praise to customers and community members. I really think that's important, because a lot of times when we're talking to clients for social care services, they want to focus on the negative, but the positive is also really important.
Yeah, we will funnel positive comments to our customer advocacy team to help those customers maybe become champions of ours. Right, part of our formal champions program. Also take some of those positive comments and we'll highlight them in our LinkedIn newsletter, which we publish weekly, and we have 60,000+ subscribers to. And of course, it goes out on the brand page, and we have 200,000+ community members there. So we try to look for those unique periods of time that we can highlight those positive comments. And they might not just generally, they might not come out of the social support side of things. It can just be someone saying, I dealt with Brooke on your sales team and she was amazing. I had a great call with her. Please thank her. And that's something that goes beyond. And in those cases, with that example, I will alert that team member and typically their manager and even sometimes their manager's manager to put that internal praise on that person, because it's important for that person to know. And manager to know that.
Yeah, it's not just about lifting up the customers. It's about lifting up the people who are taking care of the customers, which that's how this all works. How do you think that model has improved customer trust with ZoomInfo? Can you quantify that yet? Or do you just feel it and you know it in your heart? Or how does that work?
I think that for me, it's more we can feel it and we see an evolution, right? We've seen and we've monitored it, the decrease in negative sentiment over time from the launch of certain programs. And this takes into account like our influencer program and some other things that we launched roughly around the same time. But a decrease in negative sentiment, a decrease in, say, competitive grabs. So they're up previously, they're down now. Just some of the positive sentiment, and that's the feel. The decrease in actual posts that were having to route on a monthly basis. Now, that could be a blip in time, right? The holidays. Okay, everything slows down at the holidays.
Everything breaks.
But when you see it consistently happening, you know that there's an underlying factor there. And that has to do to the responsiveness of the company, right? It's not just the holidays. It's now before the holidays and it's after the holidays. And it went from, and this isn't a real number, but it went from 15 a month to now 10. Or something we started to see was instead of public posts, it became a lot of private DMs that were coming in through our channels. I obviously don't know if there's a correlation to that, but there was a reason, I think, that we went from nothing coming in through DM to now posts coming in through DM.
Yes. Yes. No, I mean, those are all.
And there is no correlation to that. I have no correlation to that.
But it makes sense. Now people know that they can trust that if they do go to DMs, they don't necessarily have to yell it out to the public, but if they go to DMs, they're going to get helped. And I think the competitor grab stat that you gave and how that's been going down, that's huge for all of those who are listening and watching. And they're like, wow, this is fascinating. Maybe we need a SWAT team. For anyone who wants to build their own SWAT team, where do they start? How do they even wrap their arms around something like this?
I think that as a smaller brand, it always comes down to resources and buying and things of that nature. And for us, we have a very mature, very capable business ops team that built this process for us, right? We were able to get buy-in from the individuals. They built this entire process with Google Sheets and automation and the custom Slack channels and the custom Slack groups and the notifications and the looker board. So all of that builds a level of complication that created this whole process, right? In a build of all the measurement capabilities. But I think for someone that might not have those resources that or might not be at that point, you have to start with monitoring. Like, just start to listen for mentions of your brand and put into place who those 5 or 10 people might be that you can turn to. It's fine if in the beginning you have to respond, or only those 4 or 5 people will. We've had some people throughout the company say, I don't feel comfortable responding from my personal growth. That's fine. Just tell us what you need, how you need it, what's the general inbox that they can email or something like that. Fine, we got it. But I think that you have to do that. It might not be as long as 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, all these teams, but start somewhere, because I can guarantee, and I think you would agree, no matter how small or how big your company is, people are talking about it. And if you are not there to listen and respond and be present, then you're missing the boat. Somewhere else that this is happening, and we have a full process set up for this as well, is third-party communities. If you're not part of that and actively monitoring there are questions about you and your competitors and things of that nature that are taking place that aren't public, but might have 50,000 influential members of that community that are part of it. So it's not just what happens on LinkedIn or what just happens on Reddit or Twitter or what have you. These are conversations that are happening elsewhere that aren't public.
Mm-hmm. I can't agree more. I still cannot believe that in the year 2025, we are still begging brands to use social listening. It's just, it's a reactive strategy to just assume like people are going to come to you. It's just very, it's very egotistical, if I'm being honest, right? I'm going to throw this content out there and all these people are going to come to me and we're going to make all these sales. No, you have to go out and find where these conversations are happening or conversations adjacent to the brand are happening. Like you mentioned, the competitor polls, like even just seeing what people are saying to and about your competitors is such an advantage to using social listening.
What's interesting to me is for people that are dinosaurs, and we're both wearing green, so I guess that makes us dinosaurs. And I have T-Rex on my desk from...
I have T-Rex!
Yep. And I have another T-Rex, and I have them all over my office. There's a long story behind the why. This, to your point, this is nothing new. Way back when, and I'm talking 2007, 2008, 2009, this is when airlines started to become big with their social support way before. This is when people like Frank Bleisen, who's a friend of mine, like just on his own time, did print from Comcast because there wasn't a formal social support structure at Comcast. This is when Organet JetBlue was around and folks like this that built these processes. And we're still, to your point, all these years later, 16, 17 years later, we're talking about the fact that's not happening when the tools are now here and you have larger teams and larger budgets and stuff of that nature. But it's so surprising that it's everyone's this year's the year or next year's the year. Or we don't need to do that. It has been an issue for every year that I've been involved in it. And that's coming up on 2 decades now.
Yes. Yes. It's hard when you see it the way we see it. It's such a miss. And what is the old cliche? It's like you're watching someone drown in 2 feet of water and you're screaming, stand up, just stand up. And they won't. And it's very frustrating because the answer's just stand up, but nobody wants to do it. Speaking of all that, what are the biggest mistakes that if somebody's trying to build this SWAT team out that they need to avoid or they should stay away from or try to steer clear of?
Yeah, I think one of the areas is to understand how to avoid the pitfalls of engaging with trolls or not getting involved in these little tit-for-tat fights with competitors or things of that nature, and engaging your internal teams not to do the same thing, because that will create a crisis, right? It's not the brand maybe doing it. It's an employee that it's going to help them or help the company, and they go complain about a competitor because they think it's going to help, and it doesn't, because then it's my team that's now go try to fix that. And some people troll the troll. And so to understand what their history is this just what they do? Look at who else they reply to. What other content do they create? Are they a customer? Are they not? Just figuring out that information. Those can be two huge pitfalls because they can pull you into crises that didn't need to happen.
Yes. Yes. I talk about that in my book, how important it is to develop a troll policy. That's what we call it. And we create if this, then that scenarios so that people know if this happens, then don't engage. Or if this happens, then engage and then follow up with X team or whatever it is. Because you're right. There are a lot of keyboard warriors out there. And I don't see that going away anytime soon.
No. No. And it won't. And you'll continue to see, especially in larger organizations, you'll see individuals across that organization do things like attack the competitor or use a description, even if it's sanitized, about a competitive brand or something. And to your point, you'll just see trolls. And we experience them, like I said, 650 posts versus 840 or something that we picked up on. The reason why we ignored a lot of those are for those two reasons. It's not because we didn't want to involve ourselves. It was either someone just spouting because they felt that they needed to, or more times than not, a troll or someone trying to create a situation out of nothing.
Yeah. This has been super insightful. I wish everybody was like Zoom Info, because it would, maybe it would put me out of a job. So I'm not sure if I wish everybody was like Zoom Info, but it's just how things should be done. But before we wrap up, can you tell us what's one of the biggest takeaways you want the people listening to remember about social care or social support or forming the SWAT team?
Yeah, like I said, you have to take your head out of the sand, right? These conversations are happening. Maybe not at the scale as a publicly traded company. We're at 4,000 employees. A company that has 10,000 or 50 or 100,000 employees, obviously it's on a different scale. Mm-hmm. But 50 employees, it's happening too, because you have customers and you have prospects. And so you might have one post per day, three per week, and we might have more than that. But you have to monitor for it. You have to have some type of response strategy, because it is happening. If you don't respond, a competitor certainly is.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so good. Where can people connect with you and learn more about what you're doing as well as Zoom Info?
Yeah, it's super simple. I'm just about to be on everywhere across social, and Zoom Info everywhere across social. So not hard to remember.
If you're thinking about starting your SWAT team and you don't want to talk to me, go follow Zoom Info. They've got their stuff together. Justin, this was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insights. And to everyone listening, if you loved this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Until next time, make sure you're thinking conversation, not campaign. Thanks for tuning in to the Social Media CX podcast. If you loved today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to up their social care game.